Welcome to the NPM Interconnections Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle France, and with me today is Aaron Halimi, founder and president of Renewable Properties, a community solar developer, owner, and operator based in San Francisco, California. Aaron is with us today to discuss the status of community solar program in California and why he and dozens of other developers are now urging Governor Gavin Newsom to get involved, following the most recent proposed decision by the California Public Utilities Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
Great. Can you start by providing us some background on what's happening in California, starting with Assembly Bill 2316 up to the California Public Utility Commission's proposed decision?
Absolutely. Back in 2022, California passed Assembly Bill 2316, which effectively directed the CPUC to do two things. One, evaluate if the existing community solar program in California was working, and two, if it was not working, propose a new community solar program that would ideally lead to a proliferation of community solar throughout the state. Since Assembly Bill 2316 passed in 2022, there was a very detail-oriented, labor-intensive rulemaking process at the CPUC that took place majority of 2023 and even into early 2024. It was a big stakeholder process. It engaged solar industry folks, ratepayer advocacy folks, environmental justice, the labor unions, the building, the commercial and residential building groups, conservation groups, the utilities, all sorts of folks in a proceeding that ultimately resulted in a proposed decision by the CPUC that came out in early March, which has been concerning to myself and others in the industry, really did not adopt what was proposed by all of the stakeholders involved, and has really kind of turned things on its head in the immediate term as we await a final decision by the CPUC in the coming weeks.
Okay. Can you kind of go into detail what the proposed decision was looking to do?
Sure. So the proposed decision failed to adopt the net value billing tariff, or the NVBT, which was the proposal put forth by CCSA, which is the community solar industry's main trade association. That proposal was not only put forth by CCSA, but it was uniformly agreed by all the other stakeholders that it was the right construct for the program, that it would meet the objectives of the legislation that was passed in 2022, and it would also lead to a robust community solar and storage program here in California, leading to billions of dollars of investment, as well as tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs here in the in my home state of California. Unfortunately, the proposed decision adopted methodology or framework that was proposed only by one stakeholder group, the investor-owned utilities, that effectively takes existing renewable energy programs that have not had mass adoption, that have not proliferated, primarily due to the economics being not financeable. And those two programs are PERPA, as well as the REMAT construct, the Renewable Energy Market Adjusting Tariff. They suggest in the proposed decision that those are the two tools by which we should determine the rate. And then not only are they suggesting that we use an economic model that has continued to fail year over year in terms of leading to the deployment of renewables in the state of California, but they then suggest that we would additionally, you know, it's a PERPA minus. So in community solar, you're generating a bill credit. You're then selling that bill credit to a subscriber or customer, and you're giving them a discount. And so the construct that is proposed in front of the CPUC today takes an economically inferior rate, if you will, and then takes an additional discount on top of it. And so it's effectively a proposal that is unworkable from the start. It is a proposal that flies in the face of the intent of the legislation of AB 2316 and will ultimately prevent the state from adopting additional investment in distributed energy resources, both in solar and energy storage.
Interesting. Can you share the difference with what projects would look like from the development standpoint from the net value billing tariff as opposed to what the proposal is asking?
Yeah, I mean, it's effectively the proposed decision takes, again, a pricing mechanism where there's been little to no projects deployed and, you know, reduces that rate even further. Whereas the net value billing tariff takes a pricing methodology that the state has previously adopted for distributed energy resources, and that's the avoided cost calculator. It is a calculator that was used in the recent net energy metering reforms in the state of California. You know, state of California has historically been a leader when it comes to renewable policy, as well as policies around climate change. And as a result of that, we have massive solar penetration. And so there's been multiple proceedings over the last 5 to 10 years around reforming net energy metering. And so the net value billing tariff effectively piggybacks off of a methodology that is previously approved and adopted across the state and utilizes that as the basis for its framework. And that avoided cost calculator provides the value for those kilowatt hours for every hour of the year. And as you can imagine, the kilowatt hours are valued most during peak times. So from 6 to 10 p.m. for 3 months out of the year, effectively when the grid needs it most. And so the net value billing tariff incentivized the developers to not only propose solar, but propose solar plus storage and to shift that solar generation to when the grid needs it most.
Thanks for explaining that. Can you share a little bit about the joint letter to the governor and what you were hoping to achieve with that?
Absolutely. So the proposed decision that came out in early March was shocking to the industry at large. The industry has mobilized and came together and really brought other stakeholders that were involved in the process alongside us to lobby the state legislature and lobby the governor to get involved and to help us ask the CPUC to adopt an alternate decision or to heavily modify the proposed decision before it becomes final. Now, the CPUC is set to vote on this later this month, and we're hopeful that, again, they will either heavily modify the proposed decision or adopt an alternate decision altogether, both of which would rely on the net value billing tariff and not the current economic construct before them.
Have you heard any, have you received any type of response from the governor's office in regards to the letter?
I have not personally, but I do know that the folks at CCSA are engaged with the governor's office, that folks are engaged with the CPUC. I know that there are you know, ex parte meetings happening. I know that we are doing everything we can to get vocal about our advocacy efforts and really to educate folks around the fact that the proposed decision does not accomplish the intent of the legislation. And that's obviously concerning for a variety of reasons, but, you know, first and foremost, you know, the state legislature has spoken. They want to see the adoption and deployment of community solar They want to provide access to renewables for those that otherwise wouldn't be able to access it. So those are primarily renters or folks of low to moderate income. And that's what community solar does, is it provides a mechanism for those folks. And what the CPUC has proposed does not accomplish that in any way.
Thanks. You know, and I'm going to ask you, because one thing that I do get, I know that the old program was like extremely difficult to get projects in the ground. Like, can you share your experience trying to get projects in with the old program in California? Yeah.
What I would say is the old program has a variety of different contract types. My firm has actually been able to get some of those projects done. What I would say is that it is not a scalable program or mechanism, and it does not come close to the mass adoption that we're all looking for here in California. And so, you know, those are utility administered programs. And so, for example, under the IRA, there's a bonus investment tax credit for those projects that subscribe to low to moderate income subscribers. If you subscribe 51% of your project to them, the utility administered programs fail to comply with that bonus tax credit, because that bonus tax credit requires you as the developer to provide a lot of information around your subscribers, all of which those utilities do not provide to developers such as ourselves. And so, you know, we're not only missing the mark here locally in the state of California, but we're missing the mark in terms of providing avenues for projects in the state to benefit from existing federal subsidies and programs that are ultimately going to go to other states across the union if California doesn't adopt something different.
So we have this proposed decision, and we're anticipating, you said, a response coming later this month. I mean, besides that, I mean, what's next? What are you kind of anticipating is going to happen with this proposal and I guess the program overall?
So I'm a developer. I've been developing solar projects for about 15 years now. You know, some have said I'm optimistic. Some had said, some may say I have rose-colored glasses. I would say that I am persistent. I embody, I think, what a lot of us in the solar industry embody, and that we have a fair amount of grit. We get up when we get knocked down. And, you know, we continue to push forward as we fight climate change. And so I'm hopeful that the efforts that we have put forth over the last month on the advocacy side, on the education side, will ultimately result in an alternate decision or a final decision that is heavily modified from the proposed decision in front of us today. In other words, I am hopeful that the state legislature, that the governor, and that the CPUC commissioners are listening, and that they ultimately want to see community solar in the state of California. And if they ultimately want to see community solar in the state of California, they're going to, again, heavily modify the proposed decision or issue an alternate decision altogether.
Great. Yeah. And I see, I'm going to name some of the few other developers that I guess had signed on to the letter that are also pushing for the legislation, which looks like it includes Dimension Energy, Forefront Power, Clean Capital, Cypress Creek, Soltage, Perch, Blue Wave, Freestone Renewables, and many others. So lastly, are you guys doing anything to prepare for in anticipation of this program, of the possibility of a program? Are you guys able to do anything to kind of start with projects, or are you guys have to still just waiting for a final word before you guys can move forward?
That's a great question. I can only speak to what we're doing at Renewable Properties. When I started Renewable Properties 7 years ago, one of the initial development strategies that we were pursuing was here in my home state of California. I've been developing solar projects here my entire career, and we've continued to develop in California over the years, primarily for the CCAs, as well as the investor-owned utilities through more discrete programs that, again, don't provide a lot of scale, but do provide some opportunity to get solar deployed in California. It's my long way of saying my company has been actively developing in California for over 7 years. We continue to actively develop in California. We continue to lean into our development pipeline here. We certainly have started to, pull back our efforts a little bit, but we're also waiting to see what the CPUC ultimately rules on a final basis. Again, the proposed decision is not ideal. It was discouraging, it was shocking, but it's not final. And so the story on this is the final chapter is it remains to be seen. And until that is closed, if you will, we're continuing to push our project pipeline forward. But ultimately, you can only push that project pipeline forward so far before you have clarity around how you're going to monetize those development assets. And that clarity is will come in the form of that final decision here. And either, again, it could either happen in a couple of weeks, or the CPUC could say, hey, we're going to modify this, and it's going to take a couple more months. And so, again, we're totally fine with the CPUC saying, hey, we need a little bit more time to get this right. We'd rather see that than see them rush to a decision that ultimately is unworkable from the start.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. Was there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to add or might be important to our listeners?
You know, I just want to say that California historically has been a leader as it relates to renewables policy and policies around fighting climate change, things around vehicle standards, home and building and appliance standards. And I'm very hopeful that in the end, while it's been a bit of a bumpy road to get here, I'm hopeful that we'll get to the right outcome and that California will continue to maintain that leadership position as it relates to these policies.
Great. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.